bill was negotiated behind closed doors by the Republicans and wasn't rolled out until mid-afternoon on Thursday. So really no one saw it before they had a press conference and talked about it in their press conference.
As far as the class size part of this bill, what's your assessment of that from your education background and knowing kind of the needs that we've seen at the local school district level?
In this case, school advocates won. The massive pressure statewide about making sure that any class size reduction was fully funded resulted in the Republicans in the legislature adding money to pay for class size reductions and rolling out the process over 4 years rather than dropping it on all the school districts next year. So this was a good victory for everybody who was advocating for additional funding for public schools.
Ronnie Dossey is the chair of the Chapel Carborough City Schools Board of Education. She tweeted on Friday afternoon, class size issue not fixed. Sadly, schools don't have enough classrooms to meet mandate. It's challenging now to find teachers. So when entire state is looking for so many new teachers, where will they come from? Will NCGA, talking about the General Assembly, expand teaching fellows program and increase teacher comp? What's your reaction?
And she's right about those things. I mean, the two glaring holes in this fix are that there is no money for capital expenses because reducing class sizes will increase the need for classrooms. And we're going to have to address the teacher supply issue, but that's not only an issue around class sizes. We have a problem with teacher supply writ large in the state. And so those are challenges that we really need legislative leadership to step up on. Governor Cooper has proposed possible solutions for both of those things. And we need to, all the people who've been putting pressure on related to the class size fix need to continue to keep the pressure up on those two issues.
With this bill, it came out and everybody, we had the press conference first before anybody saw the actual full language of the bill. And then there was, of course, a few other things tied to this. There was the class stuff, but also pipeline funding in relation to the Atlantic Coast Pipeline, which was just permitted very recently, and Governor Cooper announced a $58 million fund associated with that to work toward mitigation factors of issues that could arise from that. This would move that money out of Cooper's control, if I'm understanding it correctly. It also tackles the Elections and Ethics Board, which are obviously both kind of unrelated issues. Were you surprised to see those things since no one from your side of the aisle was kind of involved in the negotiations, and what's the reaction to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm disappointed that we conflated all these issues, and what the Republicans are trying to do is the fact that they had to take a loss on the class size, and you know, they're trying to put some things in this that make it a loss for Cooper and a loss for us as the legislative Democrats as well. So, you know, you cram all this stuff, good stuff and bad stuff, together into one bill that puts us into a difficult situation of knowing how should we vote, should the governor sign the bill or not. But overall, I don't think we should lose sight of the fact that the class size fix is a good investment in schools. There's a big investment in this bill for early childhood education. And the governor's ability to negotiate $58 million for investment in Eastern North Carolina as part of the pipeline deal is a good thing for Eastern North Carolina. A $58 million private investment in one of the poorest areas of the state, that's fantastic. The Republicans want to quibble about that and make it into a political issue, but really for the people, that's a great thing. I'm glad the governor did it.
And looking at this Elections and Ethics Board part of the bill as well, this is something that happened after Governor Cooper was elected, but before being sworn into office, and then it went through the court system. The state Supreme Court ultimately struck down what was initially passed, and this appears to be kind of a second run at setting this up. Do you imagine this provision of this will be challenged, and can you, how does that work, I guess, to keep the rest of it intact and only challenge that one provision? Do you anticipate any of that if it ultimately becomes law?
Yeah, I mean, I think the elections piece is still a matter that's in the court system and probably will be settled in the court no matter what happens in this bill. The Republicans did one tricky procedural thing with this bill, and that they did not include a severability clause, which means that if the elections piece in this bill got thrown out in court, it would probably invalidate all of this bill. But that's going to hurt them. I mean, they wrote a bill that means that if they lose on in a court battle that they're already losing in, that's already they've had rulings against them, that it's going to ruin their class size fix too. I mean, people are going to get mad at them for jeopardizing the school's issue over a losing court battle. So I wish that legislation wasn't done this way. I wish that we had the chance to negotiate these issues individually and they could each have a clean up and down vote. And the Republicans are trying to make this as dirty as possible. But overall, in my opinion, there's just still more good than there is bad here.
So it sounds like you are leaning toward supporting this bill. Is that too early to say with the vote coming up?
Yeah, we have a vote on Tuesday. And I mean, this is a case where there are things I would vote for and things I would vote against in this bill. And so I have to weigh those things against one another. But I do feel like this is a case where public pressure meant that the legislative Republicans had to give in. And so the fact that they're willing to make investments in smaller class sizes and early childhood education, I'm willing to call that a victory for what the public has been demanding and a couple of things that have been two of Governor Cooper's top legislative priorities. So, you know, there might be a couple of negative things we have to swallow in there with it, but I think that the top line pieces are actually quite good for the state.
Looking at pre-K waiting list elimination over the next 4 years, I guess it would be the 21-22 school year, over that same period, lowering class size, also $61 million for performance enhancement courses, music, art, PE. Is there one thing in particular in this part of the legislation that you are most kind of happy to see, or is it something that is going to still need to be worked on moving forward?
On the class size piece, we're going to still need to work on the classroom space, the capital needs piece, and on the teacher pipeline. On the early childhood education, the fact that this would fully fund pre-K expansion, that's fantastic. I'm really glad that investments in early childhood is something that there seems to be bipartisan agreement on in North Carolina, and we should be doing that, and I'm happy to support that element of it.